This is Abe Kia's recording for Maseches Sukkah, Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. So we finished on Yud Amid Beis on the very, very bottom. And the discussion there was if you have an ohel, like a kila, or if you have some sort of a tent above your bed, which separates between you and the schach, are you considered to be within the schach or not? Or are you considered to be within the tent, which would make you not being yotzei the mitzvah of Maseches Sukkah? So we're picking it up from the very top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Ubayis nami, and even a house, meaning something which is a permanent structure, afa pisha ein gavo asara, even if it's not 10 tfachim tall, which generally speaking is the cutoff, which makes something to be considered to be an ohel that separates you between you and what's on top of you. Kevan de kviya ohela, since it's kavua, since it's a set structure, delogara mikinofos. Right? So he said it's no worse than a kinof, and therefore we're saying that that's considered a set structure, and it doesn't have to be 10 tfachim tall. It's a separation between you and the schach. It's considered that you're in a separate room for all the various purposes. Lishna achrina. So another version of this story in the Gemara. Amri la, Amrav Yudah Amar Shmuel, Mutter Lishon Mekilas Chasanim Besukkah Levisha Im Lagag. Rav Yudah Amar says the name of Shmuel, it is permissible to sleep in a Kilas Chasanim, which is some kind of a bed tent, on Sukkot, because it doesn't have a roof, meaning it's just a pointy tent, it doesn't have a one tefach wide, a flat roof. Afal bishe gavoa asara, even if it's 10 tefachim tall, because it doesn't have a flat roof. Again, meisvei, so now I have a kasha. All the things that were rayas before are going to be kashas now. Meisvei, I have a kasha. Hayashin bikila besukkalo yotzei dechovaso. It says explicitly in the braisa, you're not yotzei if you sleep in a kila. Mara answers, hafal maeskina mishyesh lagag. So you have to explain that that's talking about when it has a one tefach roof. And here we're talking about just a pointy tent. Toshma, another raya. Naklitin shnayim. So the different types of bed coverings. So naklitin means there are two posts, one on the front of the bed, one on the back of the bed, and it forms a pointy roof. The kinofos arba. And a kinof is something that has four poles, and that makes it much more of a flat roof covering over the bed. Pire salgabe kinofos, if you spread a sheet on top of the kinofos, psula, right, that's going to passel you from sitting in the sukkah, because there you have this whole apparatus which has a large flat roof on top of your bed, which is separating between you and the schach. Algabe naklitin kshera, but if it's just on the naklitin, so it's a pointy tent roof, that's going to be fine. As long as the naklitin are not 10 tfachim above the mattress of the bed. So, we see from there that if it's more than 10 tfachim, it's going to be possible even if there is no flat roof. So you see that the factor of 10 tfachim is determinant, and not that the roof is the only thing that determines it. Sigmar answers, not so fast. Shiny naklitin de kvi. Naklitin is a more kavua thing than kilas chasana, meaning, again, you have to think of, like, I don't know if you've ever seen it in a TV or a movie, like these old plantation-style fancy bedrooms with the tent over the bed or the big, whatever. So that's considered more kavua. If it's part of the bed built in, it's not just some random tent that you built like when you're a little kid. You build a fort over your bed. That's not kavua at all. So there it has to conform to the rules of having 10 tefachim plus a roof. So the Gemara just says, I kviye lehave ke kinofos. Right? So the Gemara says, if it's kavua, and your whole point is that it doesn't need a roof because it's kavua, so then it should be like a kinofos, and why are we distinguishing between a kinof and naklitin? So Gemara says, no, legabe kinofos lo kviye. When you compare it to kinofos, those, since there's four of them, then two is not considered kavua. Agabe kila kavie, but compared to a kila, which is just like a fort that you built, that is considered kavua. Doresh Rabba Baravuna, Mutter Lishon Bekila Afal Pishe Yeshla Gag, Afal Pishe Gavoa Asara. So now we have the most lenient opinion, Rabba Baravua, who argues on Rav Yuda Omar Shmuel. So he says that it's mutter even to... It's mutter even to sleep in a kilas chasanim or kila, even though it has a flat roof of one tefach, or even though it's 10 tefachim tall. Come on, who's he going like? That's going like your Rabbi Yehuda. That's going like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Think about Daf Beis Amid Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda said it could be above 20 amos because he holds a sukkah is a diras keva. So he's going like Rabbi Yehuda to Omar lo asi ohel arai umavatal ohel keva. He says, because no matter how you look at it, this is going to be a bunch of sheets spread over some poles, and that is, by definition, arai. That's a temporary structure. Whereas the sukkah is considered an ohel kavua, it's a permanent structure, so the ohel arai doesn't nullify the ohel kavua. Ditnan, as we have in the following Mishnah, Daf Chof, Amid Beis, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Noah Genayinu, Lishon Tachas Amita, Bifnei Azekenim. So in those days, maybe they had a sukkah that didn't have a lot of space, so there was a bed in the sukkah, and the opening Mishnah, second paragraph, is talking about if you sleep underneath the bed, is that a hefsek between you and the schach? So the Chacham say yes, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, we used to do that all the time. Noah Genayinu, we had the practice. This lishon tachsamita b'fnei hazakenim. We slept under the bed in the presence of the zakenim, and the punchline there is v'lo amru lanu davar. They didn't say anything to us, meaning they held it was good because that's him holding that the schach is an ohel kavua. The bed is obviously not meant to be an ohel for what's underneath it. It's meant to be a support for the person on top of it. So it's an ohel arai. So Gemara says, okay, stop there. So he said, so we have Rabbi Bar Avuna is obviously holding like Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara just asks, Malay Malach Rabbi Yehuda, why does he have to pretend he's the guy who invented this? Why doesn't he just say, I passing like Rabbi Yehuda, and we would know all the ramifications there? So Gemara says, no, Iyamar Halach Rabbi Yehuda, if he would have just said Halach like Rabbi Yehuda, Avaminahani Mili Mita Dilagaba Asuya. Right, I would have thought that maybe Rabbi Yehuda only holds this way when you're sleeping under a bed, because the bed is not meant to protect the person underneath it as an ohel. It's meant to support the guy on top of it. Avokila, but akila delatocha asuya. It's meant to provide privacy and shade for the person who's inside of the tent. So Amalo, I might think over there that is not considered batel to the schach, and it would be a problem. So Kamash Malan, therefore, it comes to teach us time of the review that the reason review lo asi ol arai mevatel lo keva loshna mita loshna kila, that the temporary structure does not constitute a hefsek between you and the permanent structure, and it doesn't matter whether it's a bed or a tent. Okay, now we're moving on to a completely different topic. This topic is about the schach. The schach have to be separated from the ground. They have to be cut from the ground. Obviously, schach has to be something that grows from the ground, but it also has to be cut from the ground. It can't be attached to the ground when you use it. So we say, hidla alea es hagefen. Let's say you have all these grapevines. Now, if you've ever been to a vineyard, you've seen like the vines are freestanding. They could just lie on the ground. But if you want them to grow the grapes properly, you have to put them on something. They attach them to these wooden poles that support them. So let's say you take, instead of putting them on wooden poles, you lie them across the top of your sukkah, and they constitute the schach. Ves hadlas, or you did it with a pumpkin patch. Ves hakisus. Or another type of plant, which for some reason I can't remember what it is. V'sikech al gaba, and right, so you took these vines and you made them into your schach. So psula, that is possible. V'mhaya sikech harbe mehen. But let's say you had lots of kosher schach, and you also used these, but these were the vast minority, or the minority. They were the minority. Oshe katzatzan, or you separated them, you cut them from the ground. So ksheira, then they're going to be kosher. Zeha klal, this is the rule that comes out of our Mishnah. Kol she mekabel tumah ve'en gedula mina aretz, ein mesachkin bo. If it's mekabel tumah and it doesn't grow from the ground, you can't use it as schach. Kol davar she'en mekabel tumah, but if it's not capable of absorbing tumah, ve'gedula mina aretz, and it does grow from the ground, mesachkin bo, then you can use it as schach. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Yosef Kameid Rav Huna v'yosef v'ka'amar, Oshe katzatzan ksheira. So Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, and he said the following. The Mishnah said, if you cut it from the ground, it's kosher. V'amar Rav, tsarich lena'aneh. So Rav, when he heard that Mishnah, he added something. He says, wait a second. If you cut it after you put it up on the top of the sukkah, that is going to be a problem, what we call ta'asev alomina asui. You put puzzle schach on top of the sukkah, then you cut it from the ground, it became kosher, but you didn't do anything to make the sukkah with kosher schach. So he says, tzorech lena'aneh. You have to then go over to the schach and pick and shake it a little bit. You have to pick it up and put it down so that it's put down on top of the sukkah when it's actually kosher. Amar le Ravuna, hashmul amra. So that Ravuna heard that he said, oh, Rav said that you have to, you have to pick the schach up and put it back down. He says, no, Shmuel is the one who said that. Adrina Rav Yosef la'ape. So Rav Yosef turned around and in the other direction, meaning he was a little upset that he felt the need to correct him. Dilo Amr Shmuel? Did I say to you that Shmuel did not say it? Right? Rav Amra Shmuel. Right? So he says, Amr Rav Amra Shmuel. Rav said it and Shmuel said it. Fine. I'm not telling you that other people didn't also say this. Don't give me a hard time just the Shema. Right? So I'm telling you, I heard from Rav that this is you have to be Menaneh, you have to move the schach around, so it won't be Tasav Lomanas. Amr Le Rav Huna, Hachi Kami Nukha. No, I wasn't just I'm trying to correct you. This is what I meant. Dishmuel Amra Velo Rav. I was under the impression that Shmuel said it and Rav did not say it. Dirav Achshure Machshir. Rav would hold its kosher even if you don't pick it up and put it back down. Kiha Dirav Amram Chasida Ramat Chilta Lepresume Din Shebesa. Right? So, like the case of the following. Rav Amram Chasida, this particular Amor named Rav Amram Chasida, he was known as the pious Rav Amram. Ramat Techilta Lepresume Din Shebesa. He tied tzitzis onto the begadim of his household. And what did he do? Tla anvelo pasak roshe chutin shalahen. He figured out a way. He took like one massive string and he worked it out and he tied it in such a way that they were all stuck together. They were all tied together, and he didn't cut the tops of the strings to make it into kosher tzitzis. And then right, and then also kameh Rav Chiya Barashi amar le hachi amar Rav. So he went to Rav Chiya Barashi and he said, is this going to be kosher? If he cuts it now, it's going to retroactively become kosher tzitzis on the beged. So it's like the cutting is what makes it into a kosher tzitzis. So is that a problem of tasa v'lomina asui? By tzitzis, as we know from Kriyashma, it says va'asu lahem tzitzis. You have to make the tzitzis. You can't have it done in a backhanded way that they're already made and then they become kosher. So Rav said, mafsikon v'hem tsherim. If you cut them, it's going to be kosher. Why? Because Alma, we see from here, psikasan zuhi asiyasan. When you cut them, that's considered as if you made them on the spot. So that is not that. That's called tasav alam anasi. Hachanami kitzitzasan zuhi asiyasan. If you take the grapevines, you spread them on top of the schach, and then you cut it from the ground, that's called making it. So that's not a problem with tasav alam anasi. The cutting is considered an action that's working on the schach itself. So that is the opinion of Rav. So what Rav Huna was trying to say to Rav Yosef was, Rav holds cutting it is enough. You don't have to then go up to the schach and pick it up and put it back down because the cutting is enough to save it from tasav lomanasi. Now, the Savar Shmuel, Lo Amrinam Sikasan, Zuyasas, now we have a kasha. Shmuel is the one who holds that you have to pick it up and put it down. Isn't cutting it enough, even according to Shmuel? Vahatani Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Doesn't Shmuel quote a brice in the name Rabbi Chiya? Hitel Lishnei Karnos, Bevas Achas, Vahachakach Pasak. So what do? You put on two corners at one time, right? So basically you're tying your tzitzis and you took one long string or you took a few long strings and you tied them up to two corners of the beged at one time. And then, v'achar kach pasak rashe chutin shalen. Then you cut the tips of the strings to make it into two different corners. Sharon, that is going to be kosher. So my lav shekosher v'achar kach posek. So obviously, is it not talking about a case where you first tie the tzitzis on and then you cut them? Mar says no. Sheposek v'achar kach kosher. First you cut the tzitzis and then you tie them on. So you made the strings and then you tied on the strings normally. Right, so the Gemara then asks, posig the akakach kosher, myla memra. Why would I need to know that it's kosher if you cut the strings and then you tie them onto the beged? Isn't that the normal way to tie tzitzis? Obviously, everybody using strings, they were cut at some point. So why would I need to know that it's kosher if you cut it and then put it together? So we're in the middle of a sentence, but we're going to stop here and we'll continue Bezras Hashem with Ahmed Bey's shortly.